This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Rita Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Our world is getting busier and more stressful, particularly the corporate world. There are many ways and techniques on how professionals can cope with it. Social intelligence and civility are the new essential skills for professionals to approach in our hectic workplace. I'm here with Jeeva Saminathan of ECTA.com to discuss this further. Good morning, Jeeva.
Good morning, Freda.
Right. What is social intelligence? Is that something fairly new, or SQ, right, some people call it? And why is it important in the workplace?
All right. SQ is not new, or what we call it as a social intelligence. It has been around for the longest of the time. Hmm. All right. But just maybe it is not being amplified like what we speak about very openly. We speak about mannerism. We speak about EQ and all that. But maybe I can take you a little bit more to understand what exactly is this civility and social intelligence is all about.
Yes.
All right. Civility is actually a measurable competency. It goes beyond mannerism, being nice. It goes beyond kindness, polite, you know, or even social rules. Mm. But this civility is about a mindset. Mm. It's about making a conscious choice, you know. It's about realizing the way that how you treat people matters. Okay, and you have the power to ease people's experience. And this can come through respect, restraint, responsibility, following the social rules and so on, yeah.
Right. And I want to go further into the three R's a little later. Are some people more socially intelligent than others? And why so?
It's because, okay, some people, I wouldn't say some people are more intelligent than the other. I would say some people are more sensitive than the other person. Okay, because, you see, social intelligence is a skill that is easily learnable if some people have it less. Mm-hmm. All right, because it is actually about boosting their social competence. Okay, and these are the three aspects that we want to go into. Some people are more sensitive to their social radar, that means to their surroundings. Mm-hmm. Some people are more sensitive to their social rules, that means they know what is right and not so right. Some people are also aware of the surroundings of the social styles as well. Mm. So therefore, it goes back to how sensitive are you to your surroundings? Right. How comfortable are you to your surroundings? That's what the whole thing is. Earlier in our workplaces, we used to think that, you know, it is more important that I am just emotionally sensitive to the person. Mm. All right. It means I really need to care about the person. I really need to be sensitive to the person's feeling and all that. But let's understand this. Organizations are not there just to take care of our feelings.
Right.
All right. Because your feelings is something that you need to manage. Mm. What is more important from the point of the social IQ is, all right, okay, I need to recognize that, you know, if any of the actions, because it's an outside job, social IQ is an outside job. This is easier to understand. Social IQ is an outside job, whereas emotional intelligence is an inside job.
Right.
All right. So it's an outside job. So therefore, it is important. You need to showcase how you respond and react. All right. Maybe I can, when I say that, you know, EQ is an inside job. You need to look for an example, all right? You need to work on an individual to see what triggers on that person. Hmm. Okay, is there a hot button on that person? And something you say, then it becomes sensitive. But our social IQ is at the outside job, as I said earlier. Hmm. It's about how you present yourself and how you interact yourself with people. Hmm. So it's actually a skill that you can actually learn. It is actually a skill, not to say that I need to be born with it. It's how sensitive are you continuously around to the social settings? How sensitive are you when you are dealing with people? Mm-hmm. Is it people who are actually higher in social IQ, all right, they normally have a way how to influence people. Is it generally what we do day in and day out is we are quietly influencing people, all right? That means you need to build trust. in order to do that. You see, we are all ordinary people. We are not somebody out there or, you know, or a social, somebody in a very high profile who's already, or even what you call that, a celebrity who's already influencing people in many different ways. Mm. We are ordinary people, which needs to showcase through our behavior. Mm. Our behavior needs to showcase that, you know what, I can influence you. Mm. You can trust me. And you need to build that character in you. Mm. Okay? You need to build that character in you. And this is, and civility is the way to do that, to build that character. You know, how to showcase that, you know what, people can trust me.
Right.
Because why this is becoming more and more important is because the social landscape at the workplace is constantly changing.
Mm.
All right? So you need to, whether you like it or you don't like it, or whether you realize it or you don't realize it, all right? People constantly change.
Hmm. Okay.
People's thinking ideology also constantly change. So that in order to be do that, you, in a way, must have the ability to do that. And one of the better ways to do that is people must trust you.
Right.
Actually, at workplace.
So the other thing as well, right, has you know, SQ and civility become more important during the pandemic when people are working more from home? Are people taking it more seriously? Has this come to light a little bit more because of what has happened?
Mm-hmm. What has happened is, you see, if an organization, let's talk about a positive organization. Mm. If an organization who has already practiced some form of the skills, you know, they have the skills about continuous learning, or where they've actually had this practice of civility at the workplace, where they actually be able, they already had a good teamwork, they already have an efficiency, they all know as a team, they can provide a lot of quality work, they already have that culture. And even if you realize there is a culture in the workplace where, you know, the employees are comfortable to speak to their leaders, you know, when such a thing has already been said, then the pandemic may not have a large impact.
Right.
But having said that, organizations which did not have such a culture, meaning it's a very hierarchical culture. You speak to the supervisor, speak to the manager, you know, it's very hierarchical. There is no transparency. Nobody can openly speak to each other because number one is because there is no relationship being built with each other.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's no transparency, and that is with the culture. So people in those organizations would have suffered because, you know why? When we were hit for the last 1 year, by the time an information comes to an employee, there is so much of effort and waiting time people had to go through. But some organizations, if you notice, they were just jiffy. They were ready. They were ready for the change almost instantly.
Right.
We may, to a certain extent in our country, some organizations were ready. Some may not have been ready as well.
You know, how do you measure something like civility? How do you measure the costs and benefits of civility and incivility behaviors in the workplace? Because I'm sure, you know, organizations will say, well, how do I measure this?
Okay. The benefits of civility is far-reaching. Okay. Research also shows this. Right? Once you actually embed civility into the programs or, you know, or into the policy or into the protocol, or into their hiring practices, the results actually show. Okay, some of the examples I can give you is, all right, organizations who actually embed or practice civility is they will have 30% more retention at their workplace. All right? They will have 4 times more engagement.
Right.
Okay, among the colleagues at the workplace. The chances are also there's an average of 30% of increase in revenue as well. And this all is measurable. Because you see, influence, respect, trust. And all this can only happen, okay, by building the competency in civility.
Right.
And this is easily achievable. This is easily achievable by applying the social intelligence.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about the three aspects of SQ to dive deeper into that in just a moment. I'm here with Jeeva Saminathan of ECTA.com talking about social intelligence and civility. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Big Friendly Matcha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning. This is Rhea Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. We're talking about social intelligence and civility. Jeeva Saminathan of ekta.com is here with me. You know, and earlier on, you know, explained a little bit about social intelligence and civility. And you mentioned there are three aspects of SQ, right? Can you explain a little bit more about this?
Okay, the three aspects is respect, restraint, and responsibility. Mm. All right. Number one is respect. We all know what respect is, and we all say, oh, yeah, I respect you, and you respect me. All right. I just want to give one simple example. How many times when you see someone at a walkway, or even when you take out the lift, you just smile to that person without even expecting whether the person will smile back to you?
Mm.
We are always very conditional. It's like, hey, you never respected me. I always smile at you, but you never smile back to me.
Yes.
Simple thing. Just a simple, I don't even want to go into the context of what respect is. But the thing is, you know, you have the ability to smile and your nature is, I like to smile. Mm. So just go for it. Don't expect the person to smile back to you. Maybe that person is just not ready. That is that person's problem, not yours. Right. Okay, so start off that. That is by just simply saying you just continuously respect the person, regardless how the person responds back to you. You just admit that. Okay, you restrain yourself. Okay, some situation at the workplace. You know, we have many discussions, many kind of commitments. And, you know, this values that we carry with us, all right, it's not only apply at the workplace. You can carry it back for your family and community as well. See, when you have a good relationship with people at the workplace, or you carry the values of civility with you, you restrain yourself from getting stressful, okay? Chances are you'll be running a much more healthier lifestyle as well. Mm-hmm. And how we can do that is, okay, continuously by building is positive people treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, instead of, you know, you just continuously build positive people treatment. When you do that, you restrain from any kind of other negativity. And the result is, people will just come back to you. You know, when it's just as simple like that, if you continuously treat the person nice, regardless how the person treat you, they will come back supporting back to you. In an organization, employees will not simply challenge the managers or the leaders, but they are willing to negotiate. They're willing to ask. They're willing to come forward to ask questions so that they get better clarity. There's one challenge we have with people in our culture or in the Malaysian culture. They're very shy or scared to ask questions, worried to make a mistake.
Right.
All right? And this is some of the challenge we have with many of the younger graduates today as well. So if you practice these characters, you know, of a respect and restraint, you will continuously build a positive culture at the workplace. Mm. Automatically with that, you become a responsible person together.
Right.
And now together with that, you become a responsible person. The ownership working in an organization is just not I'm an employee, I become part of the employee. When you start practicing civility, it not only becomes the culture, the workplace, you're also responsible how you speak to your customers, how you speak to the vendors. It becomes part of you. Mm. Think about it. When you have positivity that you can apply at your workplace, you will carry the same behavior back even when you go back home.
Mm.
So this one main thing that can happen, which we can really apply with our situation in the country at this point of time, is it can help to reduce stress.
Right. How do you take into consideration culture and our upbringing? I'm saying this because I remember many years ago, and I used to go into a lift, right, in Japan, and the idea behind the lift, and they put signs there, please do not speak. Please do not make any noise, right? I mean, okay, so I thank God someone explained that. But it's like, wow, you know, that's so... And I guess when you don't speak and don't say anything, you don't even look at the other person's face to smile.
Interesting. Mm. Okay, culture is, you know, every country, everywhere we go, there is a culture. Even if you go to a kampong, there will be a certain culture. Yeah. In our own home, we have a certain culture. So it is a very, very wide topic.
Mm.
All right, it's a very wide topic. In our own organization, every organization will have a workplace culture.
Mm.
All right, so the thing is, in one of the rules about civility and social intelligence is, we as an individual being adjusted to those culture. Well, the thing is, like, you know, Freda, you just said when you went to Japan, what happened in the lift, all right? You recognized it and you actually respected that. You recognize it and you respect. And when we go to every situation, all right, sometimes we realize, okay, sometimes when we go to certain homes, they will say, oh, no, no, it's okay. Please come into the house. I'm okay if you wear shoes. But generally, as a Malaysian, whenever we go anywhere, the first thing we will think is, should I wear the shoes or should I put the shoe outside?
Right.
I mean, even when you go to the Western culture, we will think, should we do that or should we not do that? So going back to the workplace, and workplace culture is the daily experience of people who live in that culture. That means in the workplace, there is a culture. And this starts right from the leaders itself. What kind of culture is it going to be? All right. That means, is it a culture where everybody speaks openly? Is it a culture that everybody can, you know, can say, you know what, I have an opinion, I can shout out and tell it? Or is it a culture, if you have an opinion, please zip it and keep it?
Right.
What is the culture we want to practice? So culture is something that, you know, we need to know it exists. All right. We need to understand it exists, but it needs to be applied on case-to-case basis. All right. Certain cultures we know, we understand it exists. That's it. It's a matter of respect. We just know it exists. We just don't have to do anything about it. We just need to be sensitive about it. But when we go to the workplace, every organization has a culture.
Right.
For instance, now Malaysia is like, although we, I mean, for those who are going back to office, more and more people are actually dressing down. Okay, more and more people dressing down. I must comment about this. More and more people dressing down until to the extent it's becoming too casual.
Right.
Some organizations are having a challenge with that because it becomes a culture of lepak. Because, you know, that also makes a lot of difference. So culture is about how every organization wants it to be. Okay? So it has to be fit to the comfort of the person, comfort to the culture of the person, meaning how it goes around. Some people find it easy. Okay, organization finds it like, you know, some organization, I have to say, is they have this culture about treating people right. And they start by doing that with their employees. The leaders will do that. That means some organization will say, you know what, the employees can come and speak to me at any time they need to. But how to do that? It needs to start with the leader. Leader must actually encourage that kind of a culture at the workplace. Anytime, come and speak to me. More and more organizations are going into where the managers or the leaders are sitting at the cubicle instead of a room so that they have a transparency. That's the culture, you know what? You can come and speak to me. But because today, everybody has opinion. Everybody has ideas. In fact, one of the soft skills that's highly needed in the workplace is they want everybody to come with ideas, not just managers, you know, execute their ideas and the team members go and work. No, they want everybody to speak up. They want everybody to start negotiating ideas, build a better structure.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is, I think this is where our younger generations need to step up a little bit. They need to understand this culture is highly demanded at workplace today. Culture of, you know, need to come up and speak. You cannot be at the uni days, you know, I write a thesis paper and then, you know, it is just submitted. No, they want to hear your opinion. They want to know, I mean, because I think slowly we're trying to understand that everybody has ideas and we want to hear you out. And that makes you an A employee.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess like as you were saying, there's culture and then there's work culture and, of course, our upbringing and everything. But what can companies which are keen to do, which are keen to understand this, need to do next? Do they take an audit of, you know, their SQ in the workplace?
Okay. Like for organizations, they need to find out where are their grey areas first. From my experience, I hear this always. Most of the employees are not speaking to each other anymore. So they need to find, this is one example. And maybe it's because the last 1 year we have all been very, we have just sat in front of the computer and just speaking to the screen. Maybe the relationship has been strained. But mind you, if there is an organization who has been practicing civility or kindness and respect to each other from the beginning, all right, they have been applying all the social competencies, you would not have a struggle for this. But organizations who feel that, you know, they feel that they are not communicating to each other, everybody comes into work, they just look at the computer and go off feeling very tired end of the day. I feel very exhausted. That is one area that people can recognize. And you need to understand during discussions whether there is participation from the team. All right. So you need to see whether people have all been included or people have been excluded. But these are the things people need to, but before even we do that, can we go back to ask the question? How often has your manager come out and spoke to you as well?
Right.
How often have your manager has sat down with you and spent some time with you to ask, how's your day? How can we do it to do this better? How can I help you to make you do this better? Is there any support that you require? Why this is becoming so important is because life as it is has become very demanding.
Right.
In every aspect. So more so work sometimes can be overwhelming as well. So it's important we need to be able to understand the social intelligence of the person, meaning we need to understand the social cue, the social radio, the social skills of the person as well.
And I think also probably made worse because we've been socially and physically distanced for a while. So we need to get back again. And of course, new norms, right? Because people have been working from home and now coming back to work. And to it's a constant thing. You need to evaluate this all the time, right?
Certainly.
How can people get more information about the work that you do, Jeeva?
Okay. They can always visit us at our website, as you mentioned earlier, www.exa.com. That's the other way. Or they can also email us. They can also email us at talktous@exa.com, ectaa.com. That's the other way to reach us.
Right.
Or find me on LinkedIn. I try to put in as much as information I can as well. We are also doing a lot of, currently, there has been quite a high interest in Malaysia, I must say, for this topic.
Right.
Previously, we used to have more requests from outside of Malaysia for this program because probably because it's fairly new. Also because in Malaysia, people will think civility means it's civics. All right, because it's more than that. All right, it's more than that. Now that people are slowly beginning to understand, it is more than that. In fact, we are also what we are planning to do is we are also planning to have more workshops. A seminar is also coming up in the month of April.
Right.
So that people can reach out for this program. So one of the main things people understand or in when I hear, why do you want to have this program? People have forgotten to respect each other. People have forgotten to be nice with each other. So these are the main two reasons people talk about why they tell that this program might be necessary. Some of our highlights of what we have done in the past is when we do a program like this, it's highly beneficial if this is done for the whole organization so that there is a shift in a culture.
Right.
There is a shift in how people want to be known in the organization as well.
Right. So it's ectaa.com with the extra A, ectaa.com. Thanks for spending time with us this morning. I've been speaking to Jeeva Saminathan. You've been listening to Her Vantage, BFF 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.